1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse 17. You might not even need to read it. It's a commonly known verse, and it says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And prayer is probably the most important and effective part of your Christian life. I understand that there are a lot of important things in the Christian life, and but talking to Him, talking to God, that is your communication with Him. That is how you communicate with Him. And if you're not communicating with Him, then you don't have a relationship with Him. Just to be quite frank with you. And again, I'm not trying to be mean when I say something like that. I'm not trying to like make you feel bad, but it ought to make you feel bad. I'm not trying to, but it really should. If you don't have a relationship with Him, if you don't speak to Him, then you are not friends with Him. You're not. If your Christian walk has not resulted with you knowing Him better, then it is pointless. There's not a reason for it. And you can't have a relationship with someone you don't speak to. And the thing is, He's already spoken plenty to you, has He not? I mean, He's spoken a lot to us. I mean, that's a big book. I mean, when you think about how much is in there, it's a pretty small book. But in reality, if you just think about how much that of that is for you, that's a pretty long letter that He wrote to you. And throughout history, God has recorded everything that He has wanted to say to man. Including when He came down to earth and became a man. He recorded all of that. And not only did He record everything that you could possibly ever need to go through this life, but on top of all of that, on top of just having the stories that relate to everyday life for you, if you are to open this book every day and read it the way that you're supposed to, He will speak to you personally. Now, I'm not talking about through a story or a parable. I'm talking about He will literally speak to you. And so, you know, understanding all that and, you know, just realizing that, it's your turn. You have some things that you need to say to Him. And there was a friend that I had when I was about, I met him when I was real young. I was like 12 or 13 years old. And, you know, we used to talk all the time. And as time went by, me and my friend just kind of went on, you know, different directions. As that happens sometimes. People take different ways. And he didn't end up really wanting to do anything with his life per se. It was a bit sad, but he just decided to get out of church and he decided to go a different route. And I stopped talking to him. And because of that, we are no longer friends. Because I stopped talking to him. I tried talking to him as much as I could about the things that I could. I tried to encourage him, tried to get him back in church, but after a certain point, there was nothing left to say, if that makes sense. But with God, you understand when you stop talking to Him, then your relationship is cut the same way that just any other person would be. So that's what I want to talk to you about this morning is there are some things that you need to say to Him, some things that you need to say to God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin here. God, we have so much that we need to thank You for and so much to praise You for. And Lord, we don't have the time, but thankfully we're going to have some time in eternity there to spend some time with You and talk about You and talk to You, Lord. So I pray now that on earth here as we proceed with this service, I pray that You would be honored and glorified through Your words and that You would minister to these people here who came to get something from You. And so I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Number one, you need to tell Him, of all the things that you need to tell Him, number one, you need to tell Him that you're sorry. You need to tell Him that you're sorry. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 59, Isaiah chapter 59, some things that you need to say to God, and we'll find the first one in Isaiah chapter 59, you need to tell Him you're sorry. Isaiah 59, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Isaiah 59, Isaiah 59, verse 1, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. And we've spoken about this at length, but you're a sinful being. And your sins can separate you between you and God to the point where He won't even hear you. And so, first of all, you need to say you're sorry. You know, there's nothing that repairs a friendship like a sorry. There's nothing that can satisfy the problems of a friendship like a real good, heartfelt apology. And if me and you on this earth can apologize and forgive one another, how much more can He forgive us? How much more, when you sin against Him, can He forgive us? And we've as a sinful being, as somebody who's born with a sin nature, you have probably done something unholy since waking up this morning. You have probably had a thought that offended God this morning. Now, when you did that thing, whatever it was, it's something that maybe it's something only you know about, and even if it's just a passing thought, as a Christian, it's against God, because you know He's there, and your flesh knows He's there. And so, now, that being said, it is natural. It's in our nature, right? And so maybe you could kind of put that in the category of natural but not right. You've heard of those before, right? Things that are natural but not right, it doesn't give them an excuse, it doesn't make them any more right, but they're natural, at the very least. And there are some things that are natural but not right. So it's so natural to get mad and lose all 9 fruits of the Spirit when you get cut off in traffic. Isn't it? I mean, it's very natural. I mean, it's natural to just be angry and sin in traffic. It's so natural and so easy to be angry to the point of sin at the McDonald's drive-thru employee. I'm sorry. Right? When they get your order wrong 4 times in a row, and just go find another job. You don't have to ruin my entire day also, right? I mean, all right, I'm going to tell a story here. Maybe it's just... So there's this place in Pensacola called Cookout, and I get off of school at 10:30. It's pretty late by the time I actually leave the parking lot, and not much is open. And there's this place that opened up called Cookout, and it's a drive-thru. And you go in, and it's great. They got burgers. But every single time I go to Cookout, it's the same lady that I get every single time, and I despise her. I'm sorry. She's the worst. She is literally the worst. And I, just every time, I can barely understand, huh? Yes, I'm here to order food, yeah. I don't know, go get a job where you don't have to speak. All right, I'm done. it's so natural and so easy to get in the flesh and allow those things to literally cause you to sin. Is it not? I'm sure other people in this room have experienced something like that. The Bible says that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Isn't that true, right? They that are in the flesh cannot please God. So you ought to say sorry for that. Now, you can be angry and sin not, like the Bible says. You can be angry at the Cookout employee and then hand him a track with the lake of fire painted on it and call it even. it's not that hard. No, but seriously, when you get in the flesh on the daily basis, those natural things, right, you ought to say sorry for those things. You ought to just say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm getting too in myself about this. It doesn't need to be this big of a deal. And that ought to be just every day, all throughout the day, you're going to have thoughts that are natural, and you're going to have to say, I'm sorry. And you're going to keep short accounts with Him, and your relationship is going to prosper in that. Now, on the other side of that coin, on the other side of that, there were times when you and me did something knowing full well that He was watching. There were times when you did things and you might as well have said a prayer and spit in His face when you did it. You might as well. I mean, you knew He was there. I mean, you knew He was watching your every move, and you even thought about it, but what you did, like we do, is you put it out of your mind and you do it anyways. And when you did those things, when you did that, you have been separated from our God. You've been separated from Him. and he won't hear you. Now, he's so merciful. I think there are some times for me where he still reached out to me after me doing something like that. He has still maybe put a preacher in my life that preached a message that reminded me of that and still spoke to me, and he reaches out because he's a good and merciful God. But until you get that right and you apologize and say you're sorry, you're separated from him. You're separated. You say, well, why? I mean, didn't he already die on the cross? Didn't he already take care of my sins? Why do I need to apologize? If he took care of them past, present, and future, well, what's the point in that? But here's the thing. Listen, as much as your sins are paid for in eternity, there is not a relationship on this planet that works like that. Is there? Is there a relationship in this world that works? Well, where you don't have to apologize for doing something personally against him. In eternity, everything will be right. Out in heaven, when things are taken care of and you get your new body, things will be right. But here on this earth, you owe him an apology. If you want to keep that relationship, you need to apologize. The same way that you apologize to your wife or your husband after a fight. The same way that you said sorry to a friend after saying something that you shouldn't have. The same way that when you were younger, your parents would bring you to your friend and tell you to say you're sorry. Remember that? That's needful. That's necessary. Don't let there ever be anything between you and him. Keep short accounts with our God. He deserves it. He's worth it. You ought to say you're sorry. Secondly, I'd like to say that you ought to tell him your situations. Tell him your situations. If you turn to the book of James, James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There are situations all across this room, in the building right now, different people in different stages of life who are going through things that maybe you've gone through or maybe you haven't gone through. And there are situations all across the room, very specific ones, personal ones. And you need to tell him about those. You need to go to God and explain them to him in depth with specifics. And again, just like we were talking about in the first thing, it doesn't matter that he already knows. What he wants from you is he wants you to tell him. He wants you to tell him. As a church family, it's your responsibility to bear one another's burdens. So fulfill ye the law of Christ. It is your responsibility to do that. And doesn't that mean that if you're to bear one another's burdens, like, how can you do that? Because me and you, we can't actually physically go take the burden of a sickness. We can't take the burden of a death and put it on ourselves. How do you do that? And I'm telling you this morning, the only way that you can do that is through prayer. It's the only way. That you older folks in here, you guys have been through some things. Some things that I have not been through. Some things that the younger folks in here have not been through, but maybe are about to go through. And you know how to pray for those things for them. You know how to pray for them better than maybe even they know how to pray for them. Because you've gone through it. And so, take the burdens of your church family members. As a young person in church, I haven't been through much. I don't know what it's like to go through just some of the most basic stuff. And so what I have to do is, as a young person, I have to get on my knees and I have to say, God, I have no idea what they are going through. So please help them in a way that only you can. And so you see, the two sides of that coin are there. You can bear one another's burdens. You can bear them, like, as a family. And I remember when I first started praying every day for the requests in church. I remember the first time I really did that. I hadn't done it. We prayed from Wednesday night. We'd go out back and we'd pray all together. But then I'd go home and, there were other things to pray for. But I'm telling you, before I did that, before I actually took the requests home from my church family and started praying for them every day, I didn't know what it was like to actually love my church family. It's a completely different thing. Completely different. Now, I'm not saying that you don't love them in here, if you don't pray for them as you should, but you don't love them as you should, is maybe the better way to say it. You know, I don't know how to explain it, but you end up, after praying for those things and telling them to Jesus, you end up caring for them, those people that you're praying for, in a way that is completely and totally different. And what ends up happening is you feel part of the burden. And you'll find out, like, let's say you get the prayer request on Wednesday, after praying for them on Wednesday night and praying for them on Thursday night, by Friday and Saturday, you feel the weight. Literally. You literally feel the weight of the situation. I remember walking in, and I got to a Friday or a Saturday, the first couple of times I did that, and I was looking at a prayer request, and it was like I was praying for my own sister. And it was a change. You know, the Wednesday night, it didn't feel like that. But by the Friday and the Saturday, when you're spending that time, I don't know what about it. I don't know if it's something spiritual, but you're bearing their burden. And you have no idea what that's helping them with. You know, that little weight that you're taking on yourself, to me, what it sounds like is maybe the weight is being lifted off of them a bit. And you can't see it. And you don't know. And they don't know that it's you. But it's being lifted. It's being taken care of. Bear ye one another's burdens. Tell him your situation. Tell him about your friend's situation. Tell him about your church family's situation. And give him the specifics. Go in detail. And see what he does with it. You have no idea what effect that will have on your life and their life. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, it even says to pray for your enemies. It even says that you're supposed to try and take some things off of them. And I understand that might be hard to think about. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, it says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." You know, if you love the people who love you, then it's kind of selfish, isn't it? But when you reach out and love people who you don't, maybe you shouldn't love, or it's not natural for you to love, and you pray for them, the Bible says that it's like heaping coals of fire on their head. And what that does is God will come and work in your situation, the one that's burdening you down, in a way that you would never have thought possible. Because you're bearing somebody else's burden. And God has a way of coming in and answering your prayers when you pray for others. He has a way of coming in there and taking care of things that you didn't even really ask for. But because he sees you bearing somebody else's burden, he does it for you. You need to bear one another's burdens. It's your job as a Christian. As somebody part of the body of Christ, it is your job and your duty, your responsibility. Number three, I'd like to say that you need to tell him your secrets. If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29, Deuteronomy chapter 29, not only do you need to tell him you're sorry, you need to tell him your situation, and finally, you need to tell him your secrets. Deuteronomy chapter 29, in verse 29, the Bible says, Deuteronomy 29, 29, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." But that first part of the verse where it says that the secret things belong to him, yeah, he already knows about them. And yes, he knows everything, but you need to tell him your secrets. You want some real proximity in your life to God? You want to get to know him in a way that you don't know him right now? You ought to tell him your secrets. The things that bother you that you could never really tell anyone else belong to him. The pain that you feel about something that you could never even describe to anyone else belongs to him. And the thing is, just because it belongs to him does not mean that you have given it to him. Does that make sense? You know, wouldn't you say that your praise belongs to him? Wouldn't you say that your worship belongs to him? But how often do you not give it to him? Very often. It's very often that your praise in your heart belongs to him, but you've kind of taken it for yourself and you're keeping it for yourself. And so you have to give it to him. You still have to give it to him. If you want help, you want the comfort that he can give alone, then you have to give it to him. People nowadays, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just because of the distance between them and God. They're not honest with him. They're not real with God. I don't know if it's just because we're so steeped in tradition, we're still so steeped in just what churches have been like for hundreds of years. You're not real with God anymore. I grew up in churches, and you know, the way that people pray sometimes, you can just tell that wasn't a real prayer. That wasn't real. It was fake. They were saying things that they've heard said over and over again. It didn't come from their heart. The way that you talk to him should be real. And I know he is a gracious heavenly Father, and we ought to tell him those things and, you know, that speak to him and worship him in the beauty of holiness. But sometimes you ought to just get rid of all that stuff and get real with God. Talk to him the way that you would speak to somebody else. Speak to him like a friend. Tell him what's on your mind. Tell him what's on your heart. Tell him your secrets. You'll spend hours on the phone. You women in here will spend hours on the phone talking to your girlfriends. Hours and hours just talking about anything. And sometimes they don't even say anything back because you're doing all the yapping. You know, you can do that with him. You know, you can get in your car on the way to work and you can just tell him about the day that you would like to have. Tell him about the way things have been going for you. Man, it's good. Tell him that you appreciate the sunrise in the morning and the rainbow in the sky. Tell him what you're thinking. And you'll find that he comes down and he'll tell you what he's thinking. And you'll have a closeness, a proximity, a relationship. Get real with him. Get real. Maybe some of you ought to do some yelling. Get out in the woods somewhere and yell. And tell him what's really ailing you. What's really going on in your heart. And get it out to him so that he can carry it for you. Because sometimes right now, if I understand human beings the way that I do, sometimes you just let it pent up in there. And you'll talk to him about it when you're praying over your food and all that stuff. But you just let it sit and it rots in there. And you talk to him about it and it's not real, it's fake. And he knows what's really going on. And he sees inside your heart and he says, well, I'm going to leave them alone until they get real with me. You know, you can look all throughout this book, and if you can find a place where a man got real with God to the point of yelling, if you can find a man in here who did that and God responded harshly, I'll give you whatever you want. You can't find it because God deals in honesty. God deals in truth. He's not there for some kind of game. He wants you to lay it all out. He wants you to tell him your secrets. Some of you in here have some real trouble. I don't know what it is. I'm not with you every day, but I know you can't have even just a building with this many people inside. You can't have it without having some people with some real, honest trouble and problems. And you need to give it to him. And some of those things, you're keeping a secret from him. And God doesn't like it when you keep secrets from him, because they belong to him. Maybe this morning, maybe there's someone in here who's carrying something that they can't talk about. Something that you can't talk about with your spouse. Something that you don't want to talk about with anyone. You can't tell your best friend. You can't tell anyone. There is one person that you can bring it to. There's one person who can bear your burden. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Some of you have some family trouble in here. Some of you have some people in your life that maybe aren't as close as they used to be. You need to bring that to Him. You need to talk to Him about it. Some of you in here have some physical ailments. Some of you in here, I just had a bit of a bug over the last couple of days. I was thinking, man, what would it be like to have this and to have to deal with this on a daily basis? I have no idea what I would do. I was such a wuss about it, man. I have no idea. I mean, you got a bit of a headache and you're just like, oh, I'm just going to lie on the couch all day long. Some people just have that constantly and they have to deal with that. And I can't imagine what that does to you, but I know this. I know that you're going to need to give that to Him. I know that the way that you honestly feel, and people come in, you ask you how you're doing. I'm doing okay today. You know, I'm not feeling the greatest. But inside, there's some truth that you're keeping secret. There's some feelings there that you're hiding from Him. And just like Adam and Eve in the garden, in one of the first stories that have ever happened, Adam and Eve are hiding in the garden, and the Lord goes in and He asks him, He says, Adam, where are you? He knew exactly where he was, didn't he? He knew where he was, but he wanted something from Adam. He wanted Adam to come out from the bushes and say, I'm here. I need help. And you need help, whether you like it or not. There's some things you need real help with. If you don't know it, then you need to find out how much help you need. If you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we'll begin reading in verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12:13, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There are things that you haven't gone to Him about, that He already knows about, some secret sins that you've been hiding from Him. Some secrets that you're keeping from Him. And one day He's going to bring them into judgment, whether they are good or whether they were evil. And you better get that taken care of now, before that day comes. Because there's a day coming where He's going to have to bring it out into the light either way. And it's going to come out. And you're going to need to be ready for that. You're going to want to be ready for that. You're going to want to get up there, and maybe the only things that are between you and Him are the couple of thoughts that you had before that sound came, that trumpet sounded. Just a couple of things between you. And you get up there, and you know, I almost hope that it's not a surprise. It'll be something where you see Him, and immediately you see Him and you say, that's who I've been spending so much time with. It's not going to be a stranger. It's not going to be somebody that you've never met before. When you get up there, it's probably, hopefully, going to feel like somebody that you were walking with every day. That's the guy that knows my secrets. That's the one that has my tears in a bottle. That's the one that knows the situations that I was in. And that's the one that knows all the things that I talk to Him about on a daily basis. That's the one that I apologize to a bunch of times because of how much of a loser I was. And you should have some history with Him when you get up there. And in conclusion, that just the prayer is one of the greatest tools for the Christian. More gets done on someone's knees than anywhere in the world. Anywhere. And the reason that church is going in the direction that it's going is because people are not speaking to Him anymore. They're not speaking to Him. They'll come hear Him talk. Maybe they'll hear Him talk in some preaching. Maybe they'll turn on the TV and listen to some TV preachers and hear something that has to do with the Bible. They'll listen to music about Him, but you won't talk to Him because there's some separation there. They don't care to hear his opinions. They don't ask him for advice. They don't ask him for his convictions. They don't tell him they're sorry. They don't talk to him about their situations. And so they're left without him beside them. And they're left alone because they don't talk to the one who will never leave them nor forsake them. So I ask you this morning, do you speak to him? Do you talk to him on a daily basis? Is he your friend? Can you say that? Can you say he's somebody that you have a real connection with? And if you can't, then you need to do some serious reevaluation, some serious thinking, and you need to get on your knees and talk to him. If I could have somebody come to the piano and play, maybe it's been a while since you've spoken to him. Maybe it's been a while since you told him you were sorry. Maybe there's some things that are between you and him that are just unconfessed, and you need to get on an altar and lay it all out to him and get rid of some things. Put some things down. And it's something so personal, I could never even venture to guess who in here talks to him and who doesn't. It's way too personal. I have no idea. But with every head bowed and every eyes closed, you need to just spend some time talking to him. And I'm going to shut up now. I'm not going to be talking. You just sit there in your seat and you spend some time talking to him as the piano plays.